Good morning, everyone. Good to be here. So I want to start with this. Christians, we love to hear famous people give some sort of credit to God if they maybe have a great achievement in their career. So like, for example, if someone wins the Grammys, they'll go up, you know, acceptance speech, and then we're waiting, and they give credit to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're like, yay! As Christians, we're so happy. Maybe it's a Super Bowl that someone just won. Who knows, right? And we typically get more excited about it the more articulate and specific, you know, that sort of profession of faith is, right? So it's kind of vague. We're like, yeah, maybe not sure if they're Christian, but it's cool that they did that. Really specific, you're like, oh, they're the real deal, and we get super excited, right? Do you think that's healthy? Do you think we should do that? Do you think we should get so excited or in sort of concerned about what a person says in one moment of their life with a microphone and a camera on them? Recently, in an article from just a week ago, Kanye West, here's the title of the article, Kanye West confirms he recently converted to Christianity. I got saved, he says. Another article from a month ago, Kim Kardashian West tells The View that getting saved by Christ changed Kanye's life. I don't know him personally. I don't have any way of knowing if this is legit or valid. I don't have any reason to substantively doubt it. But internet fans and Christians everywhere are talking about it, debating it. Is it real? Is it legit? How could we even know? Other examples of famous celebrities, if that one didn't do it for you, C.S. Lewis, Bob Dylan in the 70s, Tyler Perry, Kirk Cameron, but we, of course, know Kirk Cameron's profession is valid because he did the Left Behind movies. Jane Fonda, Stephen Baldwin, many more, right? Okay. Here's the thing. We don't personally know these people. And it's probably not that helpful, important, or even possible for us to assess their claim to know God. But what about the people we do know personally? And what about our own claim to know God? And so what John is doing in this passage is similar to what we saw last week, the end of chapter 1. He is giving us ways to find assurance in our salvation. But to do that, he's got to sort of kick out from under us the things that we put false assurance in. And so he is interacting with and addressing these false teachers who have left the communities where John is writing to. They're making these claims. You see in verse 4 and verse 9, it says that key word, you know, that whoever says, you see that in verse 4, and you see it in verse 9, whoever says, so people are saying something, but their life looks very different. And John methodically and carefully goes through and shows that that cannot be. But you can, he says, have assurance. And that's what's so unique about this passage is that John gives us a way to assess people's claims, but he also gives us a way to find assurance in our lives as believers, which is huge. So let me read the passage. No more talking about it. Let me read it, chapter 2, verse 3 through 11. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dive in to this passage. 1 John 2, verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let's pray. Father, we learned last week that you are light. Lord, we pray that you would shine your light on the study of this passage of Scripture this morning. That it would not just be something that's clear, that we understand in our minds, but it would be something that convicts us in our hearts and leads us to confess our sins and be cleansed of all unrighteousness and restored to you. Lord, we pray that you would move in this room this morning, teaching, challenging, transforming our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So, title of the message, you can know that you know God. All right? You can know that you know God. There's a big idea that I want to kind of convey to you, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm going to say this so many times this morning that as you leave, it'll just be ringing. This big idea is that grace is how you know God. And obedience and love is how you know that you know God. All right? Grace is how you know God. Obedience and love is how you know that you know God. We're going to go through 2 points this morning, but that's the big idea. And I want to unpack that a little bit. And to do that, we have to read verse 3 very carefully. So I want to look at it together and just look at it again. And let's look not at just what it says, but let's also consider what it does not say. So verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So first, let's just observe what it does not say. It does not say, this is how we come to know God, by being obedient and loving. And you say, wait, really? Okay, look, it doesn't say that. And it's really important that it doesn't say that. Because most people think that. But it doesn't say that. It says, what does it say? It says, this is how we know that we have come to know God, by obedience, by love in our lives. And there is such a huge difference between those two statements. So again, the big idea, grace is how you know God. Love and obedience is how you know that you know God. These are marks, these are evidences of knowing God. Not the ladder you climb to know God, because you cannot climb a ladder to know God. So world religion says, yeah, you can know God. You can get God on your side. You can go to heaven. Just obey him enough and love people enough. Your good works. That's how. And world religion says, if you ask, well, can I know for sure that I'll go to heaven? They say, oh, no, you can't know for sure. But you can hope, right? You ask a Muslim coming out of a mosque, what do I got to do to know God? Obey him. The pillars. Love your brother. But can I know for sure that I'll go to heaven? No one can know for sure. No assurance. You say, well, I'm glad I'm not there. I guarantee you, you get a clipboard, you stand outside of most churches in Raleigh, and you ask people, what does it mean to be a Christian? They'll say, live a good life. Obey God. Keep his commandments. Love people. Do it enough. You say, are you sure you're going to heaven? Scale of 1 to 10. How sure are you? They'll say, 7. I don't know. People don't know the gospel. People don't know that it's grace is how you know God. It's love and obedience is just how you know that you know God. These are things that bring assurance. So the gospel says, you know God by putting your faith in Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection alone. You receive forgiveness. You receive salvation from him by grace alone, his unmerited favor toward you. It's a free gift. A personal relationship with God is a free gift of grace if you will put your faith in Christ. And then Christianity says, you can have assurance. You can know that you know. And that is what this passage is about. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. You can turn there if you want, but here's the grace. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works so that no one may boast. So we're just unpacking this big idea. I know we got 2 points to get through, but this is really important. So grace is how you know God. That's part one. What's the second part of the big idea? Obedience and love is how you know that you know God. So again, it's coming from verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commands. The word know is really interesting. You know that there's a difference between knowing about something or someone and knowing them. This word that John uses is the same word in the Greek translation of the Old Testament that's used for Adam knew Eve and she conceived. So that's pretty different from knowing about someone. Amen? Intimate knowing, experiential knowing, really knowing someone. And it's very different from knowing about someone. You say, why are there all these people that you know, are flooding out of churches and can't like answer about the gospel, or just all these people who don't have this right understanding of what it means to be a Christian? Is because they just know about God. They don't know God. That's why. Knowing God. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. 2 Timothy 1:12, I want to show you this. This is Paul. Because you might wonder, you know, Paul went through a lot of suffering, a lot of persecution, a lot of hard things. And a lot of the apostles did, and a lot of Christians have throughout the centuries. What got him through it? Here's an answer. Look at 2 Timothy 1:12. It'll be on the screen. He says, that is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because, look at it, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Elsewhere, Paul says, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In both of those verses, replace knowing with knowing about, and tell me how much strength and power Paul gets from it. Knowing God is what it's about. And you can only know God personally through grace. But you can know that you know God through looking at the love and obedience, the marks of a Christian in your life. If I told you all, hey, this morning on the way to church, I got hit by a semi, but I'm okay, I'm here to preach. You'd be like, what, really? Something that major happened to you and you have no marks? How can we say we know Christ and yet our lives bear no marks? And so it's so key that we have these marks. They don't save us, but they show that we are saved, because a saving faith is a changing faith. Not the faith is changing. The faith is changing you. And so again, the big idea, grace is how you know God, and obedience and love is how you know that you know God. And here's the thing. God wants us to have these. He wants us to know God, like to really know God, to know Him. And He wants us to know that we have come to know God, to have that assurance. This is not for Abraham only. This is not for David only in the Bible. This is not just for the early church in Acts. This is not just for all those really great people in Hebrews 11 with awesome faith. It's for you. It's for me to have this assurance. And so let's ask the Lord to do that by studying about it and learning about it and applying it. So let's go now where the rest of the passage takes us. Let's look at our first point. If you're ready, I am. First point. Obedience to the commands of God is how you know that you know God. Again, let me say it's so clear, because it's like things get unclear really quick. There's so much misunderstanding about the gospel, right? About what it means to become a Christian. I did not just say obedience to the commands of God is how you come to know God. I did not say that. So please don't tweet that. Please don't say amen right now, because that is the lie. I said obedience to the commands of God is how you know that you know God. That's the amen part. So again, verse 3, by this we know that we've come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. So what John is saying is that there is a sense in which when you obey Christ's commandments, it gives you assurance. It says you'll know that you know Him. Note, it does not say you'll feel all the time that you know God. And that's important. Will it impact your feelings? Yes. Will you feel more like a follower of Christ? Absolutely. But will your feelings still be up and down? Yes. Which is why it's crucial that it says you'll know that you know. You'll know. So again, if when we obey God's commands, it gives us assurance, conversely, people in a place of not obeying Christ's commands, we would expect them to experience little of the assurance that this is talking about, right? And that is exactly the case. Example, why do so many people rededicate their lives constantly? Why? No assurance. Why does the person who neglects the Bible, neglects fellowship with Christians, lives in some pattern of sort of known disobedience to Christ, say, I don't feel like I know God anymore? My faith doesn't feel real. Why? Lacking assurance. Lacking this assurance that John is talking about. You can know that you know God when you obey Christ's commands. When you love one another. That's verse 9 through 11. We'll get to it. But again, it's important that we look at this. And so I know that we're not all Greek scholars, but in this verse where it says in verse 4, whoever says I know him, you see that? Verse 4. But does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And you say, John, be nice. That's like really confrontational and mean. John's like, no, I'm 90. He's like, I'm an apostle. I knew Jesus. I was fishing. He called me to follow him. I walked with Christ. I saw the risen Christ. That's not unloving, it's loving. I love you too much to let you continue in your claims that contradict your life, the false assurance that you have. I love you too much to let that sit. He's like, if you say you know him, but you don't keep his commandments, you're not sincerely wrong. You just are lying. That's what he says. And the truth is not in you. When it says I know him, that the actual that word is in the perfect tense. It indicates a completed event in the past with ongoing implications. So you're saying I've come to know him in the past and it's impacting my life. So if you're claiming I know him in that way, but, and it says you do not keep his commandments, and that word is translated in a continuous way. You continue to not keep his commandments. In other words, the idea here is not that you sin once or you still struggle. That's not the idea. It's being committed to a pattern of not obeying Christ. You can't be there and claim to know Christ. John says it elsewhere in 1 John 3:6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen or him or known him. Look at verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Again, the point. Obedience to the commands of God is how you know that you know God. Grace is how you know God. But a saving faith is a changing faith. And once you know God, obedience to his commands is how you know that you know God. So again, verses 7 through 8, just look at what John says here. These verses are interesting. I thought about, like, if you covered verses 7 through 8 with your finger, you could still get like the outline that we have today. Like, they don't really change much, but they're so important. Let's look at them. Beloved, well, that's one thing you get, John's love for his people. Beloved, I love you. He's like, I love you guys. I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Now, don't picture the Garden of Eden here. He's just talking about you've had it from the beginning. Ever since Paul or whoever brought the gospel to this region and you heard about Christ, it's always been the gospel of free grace, and you have to follow Christ and obey him and be his disciple. So people who are saying, John's just bringing some new stuff in about obedience and love, that's not really the original, he's adding some new things. He's like, I'm bringing nothing new. This is what you had from the very beginning. If it's new to you, that doesn't mean it's new, right? Hello? It might have been there. But he's saying it's nothing new. It's an old commandment. You've had it from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. But then in verse 8, he says something interesting. Look at it. He says, well, at the same time, it is new. You're like, are you contradicting yourself? Look what he says. It is a new commandment, that I'm writing to you. Why does he say that? He says that because he wants to be careful here that he doesn't contradict Jesus. Because Jesus says in John 13, I'll put a slide up. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. That you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So he wants to be careful that he doesn't call something that Jesus called a new commandment, not new. So he's like, it's not new. It's always been there, but it is kind of new because Jesus said it was new. That's verse 8. And then he says, I'm writing to you, and it's true in him. Look what it says. And in you. I love that. John's like, he sees the grace in them. He's for them. He doesn't hate these people. He's writing about these false teachers who have left, but he wants to assure the faith of the people he's writing to. He's like, I see good in you. I see this commandment is true in you. God's grace is evident in your life. You're living this out. It's true in him. That's Christ. And in you. That's what he's saying. Then he says, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Amen. What a hopeful verse and truth. And so I'm glad verses 7 through 8 are here. Again, the point is that grace is how you know God. Obedience is how you know that you know God. The point here is obedience to the commands of God. It's how you know that you know God. Obedience is nothing new. The Great Commission, Jesus' famous last words, he says, teach them to obey what I've commanded you. John 14, Jesus says, those who love me, obey me. Acts 5, Peter says, we must obey God rather than men. It's always been about showing that you know God through obedience, through fruit. So continuing, again, the big idea, grace is how you know God, and obedience, and now love is how you know that you know God. So number two, love for the family of God is how you know that you know God. Verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Pretty clear. You cannot love God and hate a Christian. Or hate Christians. Or a church. Kind of eliminates any possibility or excuse for any form of racism. For any choice to hate a family member. Or someone who's even wounded you. We must forgive as God forgiven us. Conflict and relational pain is the absolute worst. If you're not experiencing some of it right now, you're 3 years old. It's so hard. It's so hard. And yet it's part of walking with the Lord. It's the absolute worst. It creates anxiety, creates pain. Christianity is a community. It's a local church. It's a family. There will be, there is relational pain. If you find a perfect church, don't join it, you'll ruin it. The way we get through all the hard relationships with people we know is by knowing him. It gets us through everything. And see, if you think about it, he keeps going. It's really amazing. He says, look at verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. It's interesting. Why do we not love people? Why do we hate people? Why would John need to write this to Christians? Because we need the reminder. We often respond to relational pain with hate, or the worst form of hate, indifference. And the reason we do that is self-protection. Cross people off. They won't hurt me again. Problem is, I can't find a verse for that. But I do see these verses. Ephesians 4:31. Put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. Put it away. Love one another as I have loved you. Show that you know God through loving your brother, walking in the light. It's amazing. Verse 10 says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Look at it. It says, in him, there is no cause for stumbling. The reason I point this out is crucial. We respond with hate and indifference oftentimes as forms of self-protection. John is saying love and walking in the light, not hate and walking in the darkness, is what's actually safe and protects you. Hello? That's what he's saying. John is saying the hate and walking in the darkness actually puts you at risk of stumbling further. He says if you don't do that, in you is no cause for stumbling. It's pretty profound. Verse 11, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, big idea, grace. Grace, Christ in my place, God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor from God, the gospel, a free personal relationship with God if you'll put your faith in Him. Grace is how you know God. Obedience and love, these are virtues that when they are in your life, they provide you with assurance so that you can know that you do know God. So in conclusion, as we close, we started out today talking about famous people that we don't know. And we decided probably better not talk about them. Then we talked about what about the people that we do know and what about ourselves? Asking how can we know that we know God? And it's grace. And it's walking with Christ. And so I'll give you three sort of applications as we go. First, to the outsider or the person who's here and maybe you're invited and you're not a Christian yet. You're a non-believer. You're not Christian and you're an outsider and I hope you feel welcome. Maybe you have said this before. You have a problem with the hypocrites in the church. I hope you see from this passage, God has a big problem with that too. And the Bible does. And please know that the Bible does not teach anywhere that we are saved by living obedient and loving lives. The best we could do in those areas would still not be enough to justify us before a true and holy and just God. The good news is not good advice on how to be more obedient and loving. The good news is good news that Jesus came and died in your place so that you might have given to you His perfect obedience. And His perfect love. And you might know God through Christ. So for you this morning, if this is you, I plead with you to accept a personal relationship with God through putting your faith in Christ. Take that step. To another person, another application, to the fragile, maybe a little fragile, believer who's feeling unassured. You say, I thought 1 John was about assurance, and I'm feeling less assured since we started it. Well, let me encourage you to be careful not to be obsessed with your imperfections in sort of an almost self-absorbed way, as if your salvation depended on your performance, because it doesn't. For every one look at yourself in the mirror, take 10 looks at Christ on the cross. Trust in Christ. Be assured. And thirdly, you know, to the believer, to the person who says, I know God, but knows that he or she is living in some persistent pattern of sin. Whatever form that sin may be in, disobedience to Christ, a lack of love, be concerned. Your faith that you claim is saving you should also be changing you. And come to Christ, come to God, and let Him melt your heart with His love and His forgiveness, and forgive others. And love others. So let me close in prayer as we invite the band to come back up and lead us in a song of response.